key my own the front, fi bust up them bone. Must you think them name a Sylvester Stallone, but I no Rocky, them Rocky, no Rocky, them they a stone. So, from it no broke, don't fix it. Go on, live good, drink up, don't worry, be tipsy.
Life is what you make it, it could be so nice. Careful how you live, call you pay the price. And if you broke, that mean that you dead twice. Till then, no worries. Life is what you make it, it could be so nice.
Want to learn French? Parlez-vous français? Join us every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on CIET 89.5 FM or live from our studio. Potpourri Show targets student listeners who want to explore and travel through the Francophone world. Our show includes French lessons, news, reports from across the continent, every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on CIET 89.5 FM. Our email address, pot.pourri@simpatico.ca.
Your support helps keep community radio on the air. If you love CIUT 89.5 FM radio and you want a chance to win one of our amazing grand prize draws, don't wait. Go to www.ciut.fm and donate today. CIUT 89.5 FM, the new sound of your city.
Hey, Brenda, you're in a hurry. Where are you going?
I'm buying a new mini dress for the Spirit of Yorkville Festival. It's going to be out of sight. Luke and the Apostles, Johnny Lufsen, Kathy Young, George Oliver, John Finley, Ken Whiteley, and lots more. I bought tickets for all three shows.
Cool. When's the festival?
It's at the Pilot, May 22nd and May 23rd.
So where do I get tickets?
Online at spiritofyorkville.com.
Spiritofyorkville.com.
Spiritofyorkville.com. Hey, you better buy them today. Tickets are limited for each show. Hey, do you think this headband works with my hair like this?
You look groovy.
I can't wait to party. The first annual Spirit of Yorkville Festival, May 22nd and 23rd at the Pilot on Cumberland in the heart of the village. Friday night rocks, Saturday afternoon folk fest, and Saturday night rolls, baby. Come party with your favorite Yorkville icons and your hosts, David Marsden, Brian Master, and Ken Stauer. Tickets are limited. Don't miss out.
Hi, welcome to Evidence, this Saturday, May 16th, 2015, here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Ted Fox, and with me
is Nicole Hamilton.
Yes. I just want to check that Nicole Hamilton is definitely here.
That's here.
The kind of a day it is, folks. Anyway, upcoming Lata Pat Artistic Director Sampradaya Dance Creations talks about her 21st and 25th, actually. They've been around that long. Work showing in Toronto May 21st to 23rd at Harbourfront. Also, Louise Robitaille, Artistic Director of Le Ballet Jazz. And they have a show at the Sunny taking place May 23rd, only one day.
One day, that's right.
Yes, I thought it would be much longer. Anyway, right now we have Randy Glynn and dancer Sue Brown here to talk about a seniors dance project, Dancing in the Third Act, taking place May 20th to 22nd. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Welcome
to
the show.
Glad to be here.
Well, Randy, who said third act? Is this what we become as Caesar? What the heck is the fourth act? Is that after the third act means nobody's here?
Well, I guess it depends on how long you last, Ted. We'll see how it goes, okay? Which act are you in?
Three and a half, maybe. definitely not the first. Anyway, this is a production, by the way, of Arts Etobicoke, Lakeshore Arts, and the City of Toronto, and that's quite an interesting project for them to have, isn't it?
Yeah, we've been really happy to have it so well organized and funded. It's been fantastic, because the first one I did on my own shoestrings.
Ooh, yes. So when did all this happen? What was the concept, and how did it all begin?
Well, originally I did it in Nova Scotia, and I think it was 2012, the local merchants in Nova Scotia, the small town that I have a summer home in, Annapolis Royal, asked me to do a flash mob for the farmer's market. So I thought, just say yes to everything. So
I wouldn't have thought you'd be involved with a flash mob. Really.
Well, I have to say it's not my forte. And so we called for volunteers, and most of the volunteers that came forward were my friends who are now seniors. And in the process of rehearsing in the parking lot on Wednesday afternoons, I realized a couple of things. One was this was probably the worst piece of choreography I've ever done. Two, my friends couldn't dance, and no matter what I did, they still couldn't dance. But I did see that if I could get them in a theater, I could do something that was special because, you know, when you're a certain age, if you've been around for 65 or 75 years, your body is what it is. It's got all its accumulated history was there, and there was something special in all of these people. So I spent the winter raising a bit of money, and then the next summer, 2013, we set about working to create a dance. We created the dance. We put it on at the theater in our little town of 450 people, and 600 people came to see the show. And it just took off from there. We got an international review. We went on tour. And one of the things we wanted to do was create a process that could be done other places. So last winter I did it in Orillia, and this year we're now doing it in Etobicoke.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And at that time, the first time you had done the piece or the project, it was 12 dancers. Okay. And
yes.
This time around, it's going to be 12 dancers as well.
And the same choreography, which
and
is why there's 12 dancers. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And it's in Orillia, it was 12 dancers as well. And we're hoping to do it in St. John's, Newfoundland next winter. And again, it'll be for 12. Yeah, mm-hmm. Six men and six women.
So, Sue, how did you get involved?
Well, I saw the ad. My sister showed me the ad on the website, mm-hmm. The City of Etobicoke's website. And I've always kind of had my fingers and toes in dance as I was growing up, but haven't, been inspired to be a dancer, but never been a dancer. And so I thought it would be interesting to try this out. And so I went to the audition, and thank goodness I was selected.
But your children are now grown up, and they're dancers in the States, so
yes.
They didn't rub out off on you about what they're
doing?
Well,
I think I rubbed off on them, because I did take dance as I was growing up. I mm-hmm. took dance classes, mostly tap, a little bit of jazz, a little bit mm-hmm. of ballet, but I never, joined it. I was not part of a company or mm-hmm. did it professionally at all.
So are all the other dancers the same way, mixed experience?
Most okay. of them are non-dancers, and a few have some dance experience. But
there's a bit of training in there, but nothing professional, and some zero. Some have zero training. My kind of person.
And throughout the process, there is, it's about 3 months of intense training that you place on everybody?
Well, the word intense is maybe a bit misleading. like these people are, I know there's 12 dancers. We say there's 800 years of experience, and so it's not that intense physically. But we gather three times a week for 3 hours a go, and there's a class, half hour to 40 minutes, that precedes the rehearsal, and then there's a 2.5-hour rehearsal. Whereby, wherein they've learned the dance and honed their skills as performers and come together mm-hmm. as a team.
So there's choreography that's involved. Is there technique that's involved as well? Do you place technique? I'm so curious.
Yeah.
Is there technical training that you place
dancers.
On the individuals? Because I'm sure you want the presentation to be presented mm-hmm. in excellence with long lines. And are all of those things important?
Yes and no. I think, the dance is completely choreographed, and it's well choreographed, and it has, did I just take a bow? And it stood the test of being, we opened a professional dance festival last fall, Cartier Dance Festival in Montreal, and it went extremely well, and people didn't say, that's really good for old people who can't dance. The piece is good. And if it resembles anything, it would be, I guess it would rest on the shoulders of Pina Bausch's Kontakthof, so that it's not about traditional steps and movement in line, but it's about orchestrating movement and theatrical settings that allow people to do what they can do already, but choreographed and cradled in a good environment mm-hmm. to let that shine. And that's really what it is.
So would you say you have a gradual inoculation process for those who have never had much experience at all? Like you have to start with, say, game playing, role playing or something? Or how do you work in the very, very beginning?
Well, I'm kind of a blunt kind of guy, Ted, so I don't,
We just didn't do it.
That's right. It's a just do it kind of group. And we just started in right day one. And I did spend some time evolving a class that works for non-dancers. It doesn't really challenge a dancer, but it's still fun to do. But it takes people from zero to whatever we need to have them at to do this. And after the first class, we just start learning the piece. And some of it is very simple, so we start on the simplest stuff and then proceed to the more complicated stuff.
Okay. And you have conceived and choreographed this delicious project. But in addition to that, the rehearsal direction is by Karen Bennetson.
Yeah,
correct?
Karen Bennetson.
Bennetson. Yeah. Okay. So talk to us a little bit about the technical direction. A.J. Mora is involved in technical direction and also costume design.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a traditional dance, and it occurs in a large proscenium theater with entrances and exits and traditional dance lighting. And I guess if you're involved in the contemporary scene in downtown Toronto, now that isn't the way it works these days. A lot of times stuff being presented in black box or studios or alternate spaces, but this is, you know, a real theater with real lights. And so my own technical knowledge is pretty good. So together with AJ, we just actually hung all the lights in the theater yesterday. So it looks as good as the theater can look. And it's actually a beautiful theater, even though it's not downtown. And so you need a proper stage manager, lighting designer to come and help set this up so that it operates properly. Karen Bennetson is a dancer who used to dance in my dance company years ago.
Right.
And I like to have another person outside eye to help to rehearse things. So her job is mostly to ensure that the people are together. There's a number of sections where everybody's operating together, and you need to be specific about it. And the better the people get, the more that little discrepancies stand mm-hmm. out. So Karen's job is partly to hold that part of it together.
Okay, and costume design, Pasha.
Costume design, Pasha. well, for people that know their Paul Taylor dance history, whenever Paul Taylor did the costumes for his own pieces, the costume designer was Lola, which was the name of his dog. Or maybe that was Danny Grossman. Anyways, Pasha was my dog. I did the costumes together with my wife on the original cast in Nova Scotia. And we've been, so that's a word that I would use to describe something that's basically self-done. And it's mostly found costumes, evening wear, suits and dresses.
Okay, very light wear. Very light in terms of textures and in terms of the textures of the costuming that you placed on the dancers, nothing too heavy to weigh them down.
Men are in suits or jackets and ties,
right?
And women are in dresses. There's a color palette. Don't ask me about it. I'm completely colorblind. But, there is one, and it's being followed.
Wonderful.
You can talk about costumes, too. It's more your nightmare than mine.
I had to bring three.
I pictured all of you guys sewing in a way there, you know.
No.
This is a funded project. We have somebody do that for us.
And how interactive for you, Sue, has it been with the other dancers? Is there a lot of, I'm curious to know, are there lifts that are happening throughout the...
There was one lift and we took it out.
Okay. Oh, you took it out. Okay.
It became a dip.
I guess you count that as a lift.
So how interactive is it for you with the other dancers? Is there a lot of work that you're doing on your own, a lot of individual work on stage, or is it very interactive?
There's actually both. Like, there are some featured spots where one or two dancers are performing, you know, as featured dancers, and then the majority, I would say, are group.
Yes.
Group scenarios, and the focus there is on, you know, making sure we're all doing the same thing at the same time.
Right.
And I think I've become appreciative of simplicity in terms of unison, and that's really what makes it look spectacular, mm-hmm. is that you have 12 people performing the same movement but in unison to beautiful music.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, you know, I just, yeah. I'm anxiously awaiting dress rehearsal, because I think that's when it all comes together with the lighting, yeah. and the costumes, yeah. and you mm-hmm. really get the sense of a performance mm-hmm. then. Mm-hmm. So that's on Tuesday.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So, Sue, how does this affect your fitness and your?
Oh my goodness!
Does it affect all of you? You feel great about it, and
I feel great about it, and I think most people do. I think you know, it's a struggle to stay fit when you're getting up in years and
third act. Yeah.
Yeah. We're all in the third act, and we don't want the fourth act to come too soon. So we want to stay in shape, and I have personally been struggling with, you know, staying in shape, and this is, although not overly strenuous, it's movement, you know, so for 3 hours we're moving consistently rather than sitting at a computer as we do, you know, at home or in front of a TV or whatever. So that's been wonderful, and and I just enjoy the music and the camaraderie, all of us working towards a common goal. It's really great.
And Randy, you were with Danny Grossman for how many years?
10 years.
10 years. How does his sort of, I call it, quirky, animated, cartoonish, comic approach affect your vision in dance and et cetera?
Have you tried those adjectives out on Danny recently?
No. Actually, we should try get him on and try this out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he does have that sensibility in a lot of cases.
I had a, yeah, I guess I had a kind of apprenticeship with Danny in many ways. I think I came to appreciate the things that make good choreography. I had the it was the good fortune to work with him in the early years. Mm-hmm. We toured a lot. We went all over the world. I was able to perform a huge amount of stuff and a variety of material in theaters all over the world. It was fantastic. You know, and his heritage comes from Paul Taylor. You know, he had a similar experience with Paul, and I was grateful for it, and I was able to take it forward into my own company. I wouldn't say that what I'm doing as a choreographer is directly linkable to Danny's, although I would say that the work we do is clear and it's humanist. It has a beginning, a middle, and the end, and it's well-crafted.
Mm-hmm. I'm just a little curious why my esteemed co-host, Ted Fox, did not audition for this project.
Excellent question. Ted, the mic is yours.
What? I didn't audition. I don't know. I didn't. Okay, I'll back out of this. I didn't know about it until after I got the press release.
Okay. All right. That's very convenient.
Yes, it's very, very convenient. Right. Excuses. Sure.
And so we're looking forward to the show. I feel like it's like I'm excited about the fact that, you know, this could be a world tour.
Oh, my goodness. That would be wonderful.
That would be absolutely wonderful.
That.
And you
yes,
see how excited one of your dancers is to have that potentially be
well,
the case.
Well, I mean, the only group so far that's gone on tour has been the Nova Scotia cast.
Right.
The Aurelia cast had, we toured it to Halliburton. So that counts. You know, it was get in the car and drive there, and we did it at Halliburton. And the Nova Scotia cast has done Yarmouth, Montreal, and Moncton, and we're invited several other places. There's been a lot of interest showing in it. And pretty soon most of the seniors in the country will know this dance, so we'll be able to cast from almost anywhere.
Right.
But, I'm not sure. We'll see. You know, we just have to see. It's well, touring is tough because it's expensive and it's a 12-person cast, so we were 15 on the road when we went to Montreal. We were invited to Sadler's Wells in England as well, but it was just beyond our financial reach at the time. So.
Well, that's a big stage.
Right. And
well, yes, it is.
I've been there,
actually,
yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking about financial, Ted, this show is free.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Not my idea, but it is free, yes.
Yeah, it's a free show.
It's free, but you've got to get there. And how do you get there?
That's a good question. I know now because I get in my car and drive there practically every day. But it's in Etobicoke on 291 Mill Road. And Mill Road is near the intersection of Burnham Thorpe and Highway 427.
Okay. Silverthorne Collegiate, yes. And I've got down arts, etobicoke.com/arts/dancing-in-the-third-act with dashes in it as the best website to go to, is it? Or is there something else?
Not having memorized my URLs, I'll just say yes.
It works.
It
that's
works,
all the
yeah.
thing. It does give you the information.
Yeah.
I guess that's all that's important.
That's somewhat.
It's okay.
It does. And also to reserve tickets, individuals can call 416-622-8731 at extension 226.
And it's May 20th. 2/22, 8 p.m., and it's about 60 minutes long. You couldn't endure 2 hours worth, eh? Thank you very much, Randy.
Thanks
for coming on Evidence. You are listening to CIUT 89.5 FM. Thank you.
Chove chuva, chove sem parar. Chove chuva, chove sem parar. Hoje eu vou fazer uma prece pra Deus Nosso Senhor, pra chuva parar de molhar o meu divino amor. Que é muito lindo, é mais que o infinito, é puro e belo, inocente como a flor. Por favor, chuva ruim, não molhe mais o meu amor assim. Por favor, chuva ruim, não molhe mais o meu amor assim. Chove, chuva, chove sem parar. Chove, chuva, chove sem parar. Pois eu vou fazer uma prece a Deus Nosso Senhor, pra chuva parar de molhar o meu divino amor. Que é muito lindo, é mais que o infinito, é puro e belo, inocente como a flor. Por favor, chuva ruim, não molhe mais o meu amor assim. Por favor, chuva ruim, não molhe mais o meu amor assim. Chove, chuva, chove sem parar. Chove, chuva, chove sem parar. Sacundim, sacundim,
and here we are again on Evidence. It's Saturday, May the 16th, and I'm Ted Fox, as usual. And
I'm Nicole Hamilton.
As usual. And online now is Lada Pata, and here she should talk about her 21st anniversary presentation show running May 21st to 23rd, 8 p.m. at Harborfront Center's Fleck Dance Theater. Welcome to the show, Lada.
Hello, Ted.
Hi.
Hi, good to be back.
Yeah,
it's been
certainly
a while.
Is. I haven't had you for a bit.
Let's
start with Sampradaya Dance Creations. 25 years ago, it was founded. Who founded it, and what was the original mandate, and how has it evolved over 25 years?
Well, it started 25 years ago, and I founded the company, and it's in Mississauga. And with all the touring that I had done across the world as a soloist prior to 1990, when I returned to Canada, I felt that, you know, I'd been away for about 5 years in India. And so when I returned to India, Canada, I realized that Indian dance was still very much seen as something that comes from a specific cultural community. It's something only that particular community can appreciate and relate to. And there were not lots of myths around what Indian dance is. It was seen as something exotic and something that's highly spiritual and all that. And I had a vision, and the vision was primarily just to demystify Indian dance and to be able to demonstrate that, you know, it is a world art form. It's one that has all the potential to be contemporary and move with its times, evolve, and particularly within a Canadian context, to relate to our Canadian experiences and sensibilities. So that was the mission, and I think over 25 years, we've come a long way. There is certainly a better appreciation for Bharatanatyam, the form that I primarily dance and teach and choreograph in. There's an appreciation that it's not stuck in old world mythology, and it doesn't always has a very linear narrative. What we've been able to do with many of our productions is to sort of really stretch the boundaries and go beyond the conventional ways of presenting Bharatanatyam.
Mm-hmm. And Bharatanatyam one of the great things is that it's very universal. It explores diverse movement styles, contemporary themes. What other disciplines would you say have either inspired Bharatanatyam, the movement, or what has Bharatanatyam inspired outside of that? Let's start with what forms of dance has inspired this type of movement.
Well, I'm living in Toronto, one is just so blessed to be able to be seeing so much, such incredible diversity of dance. When I went to York to do my MFA in dance, which I completed in 1996, I was exposed to the study of world dance, to the aesthetics of the form, to looking at movement analysis. And I suppose a lot of that influenced the way I looked at Bharatanatyam, which everyone knows has primarily been a solo feminine dance form. And so in my company, for me, what compelled me was to look at how Bharatanatyam could translate into work for larger spaces, for ensemble work, and particularly, the use of space, the use of technology. Those were the things that really inspired me and, influenced the way I thought about dance. And to add to that, of course, again, Toronto has such an incredible range of artists who come from other world traditions. And there was always this desire to look at where the commonalities lie within our individual traditions, and what is it that we can explore to look at, the confluence of many of those styles coming together.
So when an individual observes Bharatanatyam, might they be able to identify, other than contemporary movement, what other styles of movement might be recognizable to the typical dance artist that is sitting in the audience?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer, because I'm still working within a very strong Indian aesthetic.
Mm.
So when I talk about stretching the boundaries, I'm stretching it within the parameters of my form and pushing that, those boundaries. So it's not like you're going to see ballet,
right,
a balletic movement in my performance. Certainly, the use of the physicality of modern dance is there in my work. The physicality of, falling and recovering, the notion that movements can be asymmetrical, which is very different from what conventional Bharatanatyam is, because traditional Bharatanatyam is very geometric. It's kind of got an architectural style to it, whereas what I'm exploring is where can I use the torso in a different way, so that one sort of breaks the uprightness of it at times. What is it that I can do to get from one end of the stage to the other without compromising the technique of Bharatanatyam? So these are the kinds of things that one might see as, and our company does very classical repertoire as well, which falls very much within the prescribed traditional way of doing it. So, but when we do a contemporary work like the one that we're opening next week, you're going to see a strong influence of the Indian martial art form called Kalari. You're going to see a strong imprint of yoga in it. And you're going to see Bharatanatyam, perhaps I can say turned on its head.
Right. We are talking to Lata Pat, Artistic Director of Sampradaya Dance Creations, talking about her 25th anniversary.
Yes.
25th, right? anniversary,
right.
Presentation showing May 21st to 23rd, 8 p.m. at Harbor Front Center's FLEC. We have a pair of tickets to give away for Friday, May 22nd, 8 p.m. That's Friday, May 22nd, 8 p.m. The number to call is 416-946-7000, 416-946-7000. Lata, you have musicians, Carnatic musicians. I'm not familiar with the term Carnatic. Can you explain that and how you they are working with you in this?
Well, this is a very interesting piece because I'm working with two amazing composers and musicians from India. Now, Carnatic classical is a classical vocal style of music from South India, and as opposed to the Hindustani classical style, which is from North India. So it's got a very definite system of using ragas and melodies and rhythms. So we've got one of the rising stars of India, Sikal Gurucharan, who's going to be singing. But amazingly, we're working with piano, with another amazing composer who lives in India but is a pianist and who's well-versed in Western classical music as well as Carnatic music. So, I mean, their work is so incredibly synergistic, and I've been following them for a very long time, and they've just created some wonderful compositions for us to be dancing.
Oh, so this is live music then?
It's absolutely live music, and we are being joined by Toronto's sarangi artist. Now, sarangi is a North Indian stringed instrument, a very rare one. One doesn't get to hear that too often. And so we've got Aruna Narayan Kale, and then we've got a multi-percussionist, S. Surender, who's going to be playing the mridangam and the kanjira. We've got three dancers from India and three dancers from here from Toronto. So it's just a feast for the eyes and the ears, definitely. We've got Jacques Collin, who worked with us on our visual design for the Taj, which was, which was one of the most talked about visual designs. So he's coming back to design the visuals for this production. And Arun Srinivasan is our lighting designer and production manager. So it's really looking at Indian dance through a new lens.
Right.
And as we approach the show, Nirantara, is that how we pronounce it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell us what that means.
Nirantara is a Sanskrit word. Sanskrit is, of course, an ancient language as Latin is, and it means endless. It means infinite. So, you know, I'm looking at life, I'm looking at relationships, I'm looking at our connections to the earth, to the universe, to the cosmos, to each other, through love, through tension, through music, through dance. And so it, in a way, it's actually quite a departure because it's a very abstract theme that I'm exploring in this work. So Nirantara is based on a beautiful Sanskrit verse which talks about our existence as part of a whole. And we are the whole, meaning W-H-O-L-E. And we, as individuals, are part of that whole. And it's believed in this philosophy, you take away from the whole, but the whole is not diminished. It always remains whole.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very kind of esoteric concept, but it translates into some very beautiful visualization on the stage. And I'm actually doing two solos, so I'm returning
Wonderful.
To the stage after a very long time to perform.
Right.
Okay.
So all this takes place at the Fleck Dance Theater, which is a great location for something like this.
It is.
Your website is Sampradaya.
Sampradaya.ca.
.ca.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes place May 21st to 23rd at 8 p.m. And we have one pair of tickets still to give away for Friday, May 22nd, 8 p.m. The number to call, 416-946-7000. I'm Ted Fox.
And I'm Nicole
and
Hamilton.
And we'll see you shortly again here on CIUT 89.5.
Absolutely.
Thanks
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ted.
Us.
Thank you, Nicole. Bye-bye.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Did you know there are now 8 different ways in which you can listen to your favorite programs on CIUT? From Barrie to Buffalo, Kitchener to Coburg, you can pick us up on 89.5 FM. We also stream online at www.ciut.fm, on Rogers Digital Cable, Channel 946, Channel 970 on Bell 5 TV, Star Choice Satellite offers CIUT on Channel 826, and you can pick us up on the TuneIn Radio app and under College and Campus Radio on iTunes. Finally, you can listen or download CIUT program archives at CIUT.fm. CIUT 89.5 FM, delivering the new sound of your city everywhere.
You are always with me. You've never left me, no, no.
You're living inside of me.
My soul is yours. You are always with me. You've never left me, no, no.
You're living inside of me.
My soul is yours.
Because I know you love.
I feel like I'm launching here.
Welcome back to Evidance, everyone. I'm Nicole Hamilton.
And I'm Ted Fox. We did it in reverse order. Great. Yui Robitaille, Artistic Director of Les Ballets Jazz, is online now, and they have a show here in Toronto. It's been a long time at the Sony Center for the Performing Arts, May the 23rd, one day only. Welcome, Lou, to Evidance here.
Welcome.
Bonjour.
Bonjour to you too.
Now, can you give a mini history of Les Ballets Jazz? I've been in Montreal. I keep seeing you there. I don't get to see you hardly at all here, I don't think. And I feel it's morphed through the years. I don't think jazz is the right word now. I think you've morphed somehow into a mix that isn't exactly jazz. Can you talk all about that for a bit?
Yes, you are right. At the beginning, it was a jazz dance company, Les Ballets Jazz of Montreal. Today, it's more, we talk about dance, ballet dance, contemporary ballet, contemporary dancer. I use often the word fusion, because we mix all style of dance, art form, even some touch of athletic movement. So it's mostly about fusion. What basically all the creators are looking for in the process of new work.
Basically, you feel like I have in the past that your company is basically, I call it a celebration of life. Maybe that's not the way you would describe it, but for me, that's the reaction I've always got at work. This life, it's vibrant, it's exciting, leaping, bouncing, colorful, that sort of flavor to it, which I notice when you've shown it outdoors at LaFontaine Park in the summer,
right.
You know, all the general public is really wired up about it at the end.
You had the right words for it. I was often say BGM is a celebration. When we go on stage, it's like a big gospel mess. We celebrate dance, we celebrate life, we celebrate with the audience. The contact is very generous. Our the dancers in the company, the artists, are just so talented and so generous. And of course, when you come to see BGM, you can be sure that you will receive a big wave of joy and energy.
Oh, I like that. It sounds like very gospel, right?
Yes, very gospel.
Yeah, Nicole.
That's the jazz
word. She's in that. She's got a company, right, Nicole, that has that flavor too, right?
We definitely dance
in
to gospel
a dance
music,
company, and she
sure.
dances to gospel music and that, so she can relate, I think, to this.
I certainly can. To joy, of course.
Yes. So let's go through the choreographers, a bit about their background in the piece. Let's start with Closer.
Yes.
Okay.
Closer is worked duet, actually, created by a very well-known choreographer. His name is Benjamin Ipier. For those who doesn't know dance, he choreographed the famous movie Black Swan.
That's right.
And that's where I'm going to stop, not to be so people. He's the new director of the Paris Opera, Benjamin. So Benjamin did this duet a couple of years ago for my wife. She's dancing in the company, Céline Casson, on the Philip Glass music. It's an 18-minute long duet, which is quite unusual, and this duet is so so incredible. I watch it during the performance. I have goosebumps sometimes, tears coming to my eyes, and I can see it in the audience. People are crying after this duet. It's so wonderful. So it's a little jewel. Amazing, amazing.
What does Philip Glass's music add to it? I'm curious. That isn't sort of what I would have thought, you know, the way the dancers are reacting to Philip Glass, from what I like Philip Glass, but he has a certain style, right? I guess you call it repetitious.
Yes, and it serves the quantity well. Benjamin did something very refined. He didn't fall into the circus trap that often when you try to do something with two incredible artists, he just respect the music. The construction is it's a marriage with Philip Glass music, subtlety, no, like I said, no circus trick, just very poetic, a real true relation between two dancers, and he even goes further. We can clearly see the complicity between two dancers and two human beings, with what would be the relation of a couple in life. So it's really evident. And the marriage, again, with the music, the communion, when it's well done, it works so well, and it's absolutely stunning, this duet.
And what about the second part of the bill, Cosmos? Can you speak with us about that? This is a new work for Ballet Jazz Montréal.
Yeah, new work from a Greek choreographer. His name is Andonis Poniadakis. This work, which lasts 35 minutes, is a big punch. there's so much energy in that ballet. I see when the dancers finish, when they finish it, they are on the floor. They gave all their energy. It's so the rhythm of it, the speed, the execution, the precision, and the way reference with almost African movement structure on technique is it's a big, I mean, it's so powerful that the people are, the audience is exhausted after the ballet.
Well, I love the Boston Globe reference to, you could easily be titled Zombies in Outer Space, since 11 dancers do things no human body should be able to do. That probably refers to what you were discussing about the physicality and the almost plasticine type move,
right,
moving into different shapes, which happens a lot in your field of gospel dance, isn't it?
Yes,
sort of,
yes.
Plasticine movement, I call it.
Yes, and it's so, at the same time, so bright. It pushes the limit of the human body. It's amazing, though, the talent of the artist and the company. I watch them, and I can describe it. It's like I'm asking myself, as a dancer, when I was a dancer, I could have done something like that. It really pushed the big challenge.
Right, so it almost seems very athletic.
Very athletic.
Very,
yes.
Athletic, yes.
Yes, yeah.
Which certainly, yes, all dancers should be described as being.
Yes, because dancers are artists, but they are also athletes.
That is correct, yeah.
Now,
yes,
he has a company, I'm going to pronounce it wrong, Apotosoma. I'm curious as to what that company is all about. Similar in approach to teaching, or what?
Maybe. You know, we try to be different from other dance companies. We try to be original, but there's limits to where you can go. We are not the only one to celebrate dance, but we don't see this often. This kind of energy and brightness and physicality and like you say, colors, different colors in the program and emotion. I don't see this often in the dance world.
Right.
No, right.
And this piece has also been described as being joyous as well. There seems to be a theme that is being created here between the first part of the bill and the second.
Sorry?
Would you say that there is a theme that is almost developing here between the first part of the bill and the second? In the first piece that you spoke to us about, we described it in Closer, described it as being joyful as well, too. And this one has also been described as being joyful. So it would seem that there is some sort of a theme that is being,
yes,
developed here.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
First of all, the fact that we present three different works shows the versatility of the company, the choreographer, the dancer. Second, the energy for us is team of this those new programs. I would say that we are heading to illustrate or demonstrate the kind of energy of a winner, of a warrior almost, more than loser. So showing to people that when you believe in something, when you have passion for your work, no matter what kind of obstacle you are facing, you are, if you put if you put your focus at the right place and if you have the willpower, you succeed. Mm-hmm. And success for us, it's a goal.
Right.
Yes.
Now, the other choreographer you have on is Barack Marshall, and
yes,
he's the artistic director of Inbal Dance Theater Company and World Trade Center in Tel Aviv. What about
yes.
his piece called Harry?
This brings us to a different kind of proposition. It's more ballet theater. Not only the dancer needs to show their talent, dancing, but also to express themselves on stage verbally, and to defend, if I can express myself like this, defend characters and scenarios. So it's more on a human scale. So people dance, but they also talk on stage. And Barack has this wonderful quality to bring a lot of humor to his work. So to hear people laugh in the audience is so, so wonderful. And no matter where we are in the world, I hear people laugh almost at the same place. And it's really, really nice to hear.
Yeah.
In dance, you don't have a lot of humor in dance, and it's great.
I love the idea of a combination of Yiddish jazz, Balkan music, and Israeli folk songs and traditional music all in the same soundscape. That sounds really fun.
This is quite an exercise. When we first start to work for the preparation and the creation, Barack proposed me all those music, and I was kind of scared. But at the same time, I know that Barack was a dancer, is a choreographer, is a musician, comedian, a singer. So he has quite a good knowledge of music. And to mix all those kinds of music was very dangerous. But he succeeded well, and it brings different colors, different emotions, different kind of spice. And you travel around the world just listening to the music.
And it would seem that, I think how you have described it is certainly very akin to even how the New York Times actually provided a good review indicating, and I'm just going to read a piece of this, it's rhythmically mimed gesture, which has an eccentricity that this company can use. I do like the fact that they make note of the fact that the ensemble works very close to the ground, a lot of mimed gesture. It seems a little bit different from the other two pieces on the bill.
Yes, the approach is completely different from one creator to the other, and that's why I think the artists of the company are so talented and so versatile to adapt yourself to different language and writing. If I can say this, it's very, very difficult to pick up the essence of what the choreographer, of how the choreographer works. It requires a lot of time. and those three works, three ballets that we will present at Sony Center is the perfect example of it. One is more classical influence, the other is really something African, and the other one with Barrett Marshall is really grounded. This is it's typical to Israeli dancing, and also in Barak, he used a lot of, yeah, of course, the center force.
Right.
But he also used a lot of the upper body with something that looks very closely to silent language. A lot of hands talking on stage. It's quite special to Barak. So to say, to make a conclusion, yes, each choreographer has his own approach. Oh, the challenge is for each artist to respect it.
Right. And, you know, it truly does sound like it's going to be a fantastic show, and I'm afraid we're almost out of time. For individuals who are looking for more information with regards to the show, can go to bjmdance.ca, pardon me. The show is running from Saturday, May 23rd, 2015, and at the Sony Center. You want to make sure that individuals know that it's at the Sony Center held at 1 Front Street.
Yeah, and sonycenter.ca is their website. And you got to remember, BGM, Dance, is Dance, D-A-N-S-E.
That's correct.
.ca. That's very important, right, Louis, for people to get you.
It's so French, you know.
And Saturday, May 23rd, 2015, is at 8 p.m., is where everyone needs to be. 1 Front Street, Sony Center. Tickets are $55 to $95, and can be purchased in person at the Sony Center box office or by phone.
Okay. And thank you very much, for Louis, for coming on Evidence.
Wonderful having
you. Thank you so much. Thank you. And please come to Sony Center and celebrate with us.
The banners are out.
We would love to be there. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Okay. And I'd like to thank Lada Pada for coming on, talking about her 25th anniversary presentation, which show runs May 21st to 23rd, 8 p.m. at Harbourfront Center's Fleck Dance Theatre, sapradea.ca. And we still have that one pair of tickets to give away for Friday, May 22nd, 8 p.m. And the number to call is 416-946-7000. That's 416-946-7000. And Randy Glynn and dancer Sue Brown talk about their unique seniors dance project, dancing in the third act, not the fourth act. They wouldn't be around if there was a fourth act, right? And featuring all the seniors with little or no dance training. And this sounds fantastic. It takes place May 20th to 22nd at Silverthorne Collegiate Institute, 8 p.m. artsetobico.com is a good way to find out information, or just Google it. Next week's show, Louise LeCavier, she was a former big dancer with Human Step. She'll be on. And Nova Bhattacharya. This is an interesting show that she'll be talking about. She's doing her first acting gig along with choreographing a Bollywood version of Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing.
About Nothing.
And I'm pretty sure nothing won't be what she'll be talking about. Okay. Thanks to Ariel and Jovan Tech. And we'll see you next week here on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Next week.